Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy!
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we talk about red light, green light. Going hard when the market's hot and not when it's cold.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies, pennies,
pennies. Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Wednesday, November the 17th. And, you know, the past 2 days is like, especially Monday. So, like, everyone's blaming the no volume, all this stuff, all these swings that were going so hot the past few weeks just started to finally retrace a little bit. But, you know, other people finding some success. And on Tuesday, however, you know, a lot of people still getting wrecked on swings. And it kind of like brings us back to this, you know, we got to go hard when it's hot, not when it's not. But what have you been seeing the past 2 days? And especially as someone who's been trading hard these past couple weeks, and now we're getting into a slower time. And let's say you're still really over leveraged, or maybe not over leveraged, but you still got a lot of exposure out there.
I'm inside the same boat. I'm pretty leveraged as well at the moment. And just because things aren't mooning doesn't mean that we're inside a shitty market. It just means that things aren't mooning right now. Like, if anything, you should want everything to take a break and cool off for a minute. Because what ends up happening is we get into a situation where everything moons for 3 weeks, and then the next 6 months is dead. I hate that shit. So I'm okay with this. With this, let it go. Let it go for a little bit. Let everybody, get their panties twisted because everything's not mooning. Hell, like I'm watching some of my swings. Like I was down a good buck the last 2 days. And when I look at it, it's like they're trading at a third of the volume of last week. It's all selling pressure. And it's only down 5%. Last week it was down. Last week it was up 30%. So if I have a swing that's up 30%, but down 5%, I'm still net up 25%. And that down, that minus 5% was on a third of the volume. That's I'm fine with that. I'm okay with things consolidating. Just because they're not mooning doesn't mean that that this is a shit market. Was today a little bit of a wasteful day for me? Like, did I just sit there and monitor six swings all day? Yeah. But am I okay with that? Yeah. Build a thesis. Continue to ask yourself, is my thesis working out? Okay. If your thesis was just, I'm going to buy and it's going to moon, that's not a real thesis. But if you can sit there and say, has anything fundamentally changed? Is the catalyst still intact? Fundamentally, is everything still intact? Am I seeing any warning signs? Stuff like that. Those are the things that you need to, on these days that it's kind of slow or it kind of feels like you're wasting the day. You know, that's part of trading. Okay, it's patience. Okay, when you want to, and of course, make sure that you have some cash. Like I have more money on the market than I would prefer, but I'm okay with running out of buying power some days because that just means that there's tons of opportunities. That's all that means. As long as you're not lowering your risk as long as you're not lowering, you know, your level as to what you'll enter a trade, and as long as you're keeping that high risk management, you want to run out of buying power. Just because things aren't mooning, you don't want them to moon all the time. In fact, you want to pull back. I was talking to someone else about one of my swings the other day, and it was about a dollar and a half range, and I said, yeah, pull back to nine, because that'll get rid of the scalpers. You know, they'll stop out. And that gives me an opportunity to re-add higher and build support. That's all that that does. We're just building support across the different teams. And RIVN, that took a lot of the volume out of the market. You know, SPY's been inside like this slow negative gamma squeeze the past day or two. And that's okay. That's perfectly okay. We're inside a really good position. This is when true traders are going to have patience. They're going to add on dips. Maybe if something opens up 5-6%, you sell some, and hopefully we have a sick end of year, and I think we will.
So are you a lot more comfortable adding on the dips whenever it's happening on such low volume like what you're seeing right now?
Oh yeah, because I won't chase. I'm with size. I won't chase something with size. So when it dips, I'm like sitting there waiting. I'm sitting there waiting to accumulate, because, and I'm okay with getting in there big. Again, as long as nothing's with, as far as a thesis change. The one thing that I think really helped my trading out was the saying, the stock will always dip. No matter if it goes 1,000, 2,000, 10,000%, there will always be a dip. And I think that when I would start to buy something and it would dip from there, I mean, it seriously took me 2 years to realize that like, oh shit, like I'm buying almost the top and it's dipping. When I'd be selling is when I should be buying, and vice versa. And that's what really changed my trading for me, because realizing that there's always a dip gives you a chance to not have FOMO, I feel, because you're waiting for that dip. And secondly, you know, even if it's a 5-6% dip, you know, you now have a little bit extra breathing room than if you just buy it on like the fifth green candle.
Yeah. And what you've been seeing a lot in this week's and mainly today's market was, you know, a sector kind of starting. And even though it was really dead on Monday, it seemed like the EV sector kind of lit up with Lucid and Fisker. Are you expecting more of that heading in to the end of the week, or should we expect more sector plays at all?
Yeah, no, I think sectors are going to be hot. The one thing that I really scaled into, and I probably did catch some FOMO with that, was the weed sector. So I'm pretty heavy in weed across the board. I'm kind of staying away from the smaller cap weed names. I'm just staying away from them this time. I do have some Kern, but I'm really heavy into the MSOS options for December, January, and 2023 January. Shout out to Wolf of Weed Street. And I think weed's going to make a big run into the end of the year. I mean, I know that we talked about it before, and I was getting tagged inside a few posts about how we called the weed sector to run. And I mean, it did run. It ran like 5-6%, but like I truly think that weed can like go 20% into the end of the year. And that's why I truly don't usually take big positions into options. But weed, I have a pretty good size option position on a Tuesday's dip on the MSOS.
Yeah, you know what sector I'm expecting to really light up?
What?
The haircut sector.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'll kind of give like how it happened. So obviously back in April, I got a really shitty haircut from Supercuts. And it was around the price of the stock, which is RGS, was at like 13.
All right, let me
and
pull it up.
I just got my first haircut like since then, like the last week. Got it last week. Went to an actual barber, so it was a little different. instead of a Supercuts, because everyone told me not to go to a Supercuts, but I quote tweeted it and said, "I'm going to get a haircut for the first time since this one." My initial tweet was, "I'm shorting the shit out of Supercuts back in April." Well, boy, oh boy, did I call top on that. It dropped all the way down to like 275. Added a little bit under three. It's on like a little pullback to like the 340s now. But I was looking at it. I'm like, damn, boy, did we find the bottom? It got crazy volume the past like week or so. So
yeah, did you see what came out today?
No.
I just sent it to you. Someone bought like 8% of the company.
Perfect. Yeah, it was probably me. No, I mean, it's like fine. I was like, it's kind of what we were talking about like a month ago with finding these things that were just so beaten down. And I'm looking at it and I was like, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I was doing a little DD, man. And
I remember the Party City DD, baby.
The DD I did on it was definitely bearish, but it's definitely like kind of those things where it's like just getting reminded and just finding those ones from a long time ago and be like, shit, this one's beaten down. It's finally time to get back in. It's almost like catching bottoms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I'm looking at this now and there's this guy, Keith, that I follow on Twitter and for charts and stuff. And I mean, the chart that he just posted, basically he's saying that off that bottom had that big volume day and this is Dano might have found himself a multi-bagger.
Yeah, next day, dude. And you know what? Right whenever there's a GameStop and an AMC, always a Supercuts. That Supercuts I went to in the same mall as a GameStop and AMC. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying something. So you know, fits the theme. Long haircuts. All 2021, 2022.
I love it.
But kind of going forward. I saw a tweet that kind of inspired the real point of this episode, being like the past 2 days is why we trade so hard the past couple weeks. Basically saying it was so hot, then you always got to go hard when it's hot. But, you know, when it's cold, you have to understand, hey, you know, this isn't it. Not going to make as much money now. So where do you, like, where is the line? How do you ever, like, pull out? How do you, I mean, you know, this is a going and raw podcast, so knowing when to pull out obviously is a massive thing. I mean, and when you're starting to feel that load coming, when do we pull out of the market?
Yeah, so the first thing that I'll say is that it's really important to kind of have a pulse on everything. And what I mean by that is that we can't just let ourselves, we always have to have risk management in mind, because that's always going to be the thing that'll be the only thing that pushes you out of this game. Okay, let me be clear. The only thing that can possibly push you out of this game is if you screw up your risk management so bad that you have no more money to trade with. All right, let me be clear with that. That is the only time that you can possibly stop this game is when you have poor risk management. So the first thing is going to be is that what I consider a hot market is when there's tons of opportunities. So that doesn't mean that I'm going 80% into a day trade because everything's mooning. When I say a hot market, I mean that, hey, there's maybe 10, 15 trades where 4 months ago, there was maybe one of these trades. You know, now there's like 15 times that many trades for me to pick from. So I can, you know, sprinkle my portfolio across these 10 really high successful trades and do well with them. You know, so I want to make it clear that it doesn't necessarily mean like, yes, it does mean that to a degree, everything's going 100%. But to me, what a hot market means is that there's 10, 15 things that are going 20, 30%. Because you never want to get into a situation where your risk management is super off. So the time to know when to pull out is that when you're checking the market and it really feels like nothing's really going, I mean, you can feel the volume. When there's no churning going on the stock and there's nothing really happening, that's one of those times where, you know, you can, you know, you can feel when the volume's lifted out. You know, maybe there's 30 million shares traded before pre-market usually, and today there's only 6 million, and the next day there's only 5 million. Those are the times where it's like, okay, you know what, I can de-risk a little bit. So you don't necessarily have to feel it, although I will say that you can start to feel it at some point. But the one thing is that you can definitely have certain indicators like the volume in pre-market or the regular volume or just in general social chatter. I mean, if some days trading is literally going viral on Twitter, or is that the right word?
I mean,
viral?
It'll trend. I mean, you'll see trend. Stock hashtag stock market.
I'm like, like when stock market is you know, trending. Sorry, I can't think of the word. And when stock market is trending, that's when it's like, oh, okay, like there's a lot of traders in the market, especially when crypto is pulling back because less people are focusing on crypto, more people are coming to the market. So that is definitely the two indicators that you can use that kind of say to yourself like, oh shit, okay, like maybe it's okay to take some money off the market. And overall, it just a rule of thumb, if you're up like more than 30 or 40% in anything, like take some off. It, like that's like probably the best rule of thumb for anything.
Yeah, I mean, even hot market or not, I mean, knowing just, hey, I'm still going to follow some form of rules is always going to be, yeah, part of your best bet. I mean, because, I mean, you see it all the time, especially when you're holding them into, like, the transition from hot to cold market. And you're like, okay, I'll keep adding these dips. And you're like, fuck, dude, this dip is never ending. I think that's when most people really get into a, I just lost all this money I made during this hot market. So, I mean, just going through that, I think, is going to be the best way. And what do you think about, you know, selling some of these, maybe not for a loss, but lower than you were happy or selling them? Because, I mean, let's say you have a stock. It goes from 4 to 6. I mean, you scaled out a little, but now you started to add a bit on that dip down to, like, 550, now 5. Now it's like 475 again. You're getting a little worried. You know you can still get out for a little profit, but where do you kind of see that line of finally accepting to yourself and be like, fuck, dude, I'm gonna make sure I get out with some profit, because right now, if this trend keeps up, I'm gonna lose it all.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is that let's just say that you missed your original exit. So when you miss your original exit, that's really tough because all you want is that to go back up to that area so that you can sell. And I totally understand that. But that is when you need to, that's when like the growth needs to come in and you need to say to yourself like, okay, I need to understand that I missed my exit. So now I don't, now I'm not going to be able to sell it for that, you know, for that higher price, but that's okay. And, you know, I'll get them next time. Like it truly is cliche and corny to be like, oh, I'll get them next time. But that is truly how you need to think of it, because the waiting game for it to, you know, get the waiting game for it to go back up there is not going to get you back up there. It's not. And then you get into this bad situation where, you know, you're waiting, and then you end up screwing yourself, and, you know, then it comes back down to support, and then it's on support, and you really don't know what to do at this point, because if it holds support and goes back up, you're going to be pissed if that you sold. But if it breaks down support, now you just turned a really green trade into a red trade. And so that's like all of that is so sticky and dirty and nasty, and I hate it all. So rule of thumb is that when you see a, you know, 3 or 4 green candles in a row and just like, you know, like you're like, this thing is like 5-10% above VWAP, sell half of your position, especially if you're day trading. Because at the end of the day, even if it goes higher, you're going to make more money. But if you get into the situation where, you know, big exhaustion, kill candle, Okay, it starts to come back up. You get happy, you get all excited. Kill candle again, back down to support. Now you just let that green trade go to flat. You're super excited. You know, you would go from super excited to like, damn, I don't know what to do here. You know, that's just a sticky situation. So if there's tons of volume, you're in on the day trade, just sell half on big exhaustion. And even on a kill candle, when it kill candles and then comes up a little bit, back up a little bit, scale some of your position. Just do it.
Yeah, no, never opposed to scaling at all for me. But okay, kind of transitioning to something we know less about. Bitcoin's actually down around, what, like 15%, maybe like 12% in the past week or so, hit around the 70 mark, definitely hit 69, down to around 60K now. Do you have any thoughts on that before we go into the fun like Tesla shit?
No. I think that this is actually, if I was trading crypto, I would probably be adding to a Bitcoin pretty soon. If it flushes down below, like let's call it like 57, I'd probably be adding to my position. In fact, I might add to my Ethereum position, my very small Ethereum position. I might add to on this flush because this might be one of those situations where, you know, this is the last flush and then the Bitcoin goes to 100K. Like I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that I don't think it's like,
base of like 70, 75. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the time where like I can look at a crypto chart and be like, yeah, okay, now this might you might have found your, you know, your floor for that 100K or for that 85K.
All right, well, with Tesla, so obviously you had the big dip due to Elon initially saying, "Hey, I'll sell 10% of my shares," and then I'm selling 10% of his shares. You actually also saw a dip on Monday because on Sunday morning, he tweeted, "I forgot you were still alive," at Bernie Sanders, and followed that up with, "If you want me to sell more stock, just say the word." Went from 1,034 down to below 1,000, now back above 1,050. What do you kind of think about all this happening? If you were a Tesla shareholder, I mean, like, where is your head at? And what do you think about Elon said?
So the first thing is that I try to never come at somebody who is inside like a celebrity type position, because those guys are always being critiqued. I mean, for the little bit of fame that PGIR brings, there's times where, you know, I mean, I've been like, I really just need to put my phone down. So being the richest man alive, being probably one of the greatest entrepreneurs of at least our time, and also, you know, kind of having a grudge against the world from being picked on when he was young, I am not going to sit here and critique that man. But the one thing that I will say is that I kind of like the Twitter poll. I didn't love his brother selling the Friday before, but the whole Twitter poll, like, can I sell thing, I thought that was genius. Like, he's asking his shareholders, like, hey.
But he's not asking shareholders. He's asking Twitter. You know, just because you have Twitter doesn't mean you own a Tesla share.
That's a good point. And maybe that's like another way that I have no idea how you would exactly do it. In fact, I don't even know like how that's really legal, like how he can do that. But whatever. I mean, I don't care. I think it's sick. I think it's so cool that we live inside the type of world and we live inside the type of market where, you know, the CEO can just tweet, you know, to what, 30 million people and ask them if it's okay to, and who knows, there are probably people that voted that aren't shareholders. But at the end of the day, I think it's a really cool concept that he's asking the people that he essentially works for, the shareholders, if he can sell. I love it. I think it's a really cool concept. And at the end of the day, at least the Twitter poll said that it was okay for him to sell 10%. And here's the thing, okay? He knows that the valuation, from any valuation metric, that the stock shouldn't be up here. Okay, he's not an idiot. Number two, I think we talked about inside the last episode, you know, he's not a super flashy guy. He doesn't own 50,000 billion homes. And you know, he doesn't wear like, you know, $5 million watches, you know? So like the chances that this stuff all goes to materialistic things, probably pretty small. But
the fact he doesn't have a Gucci belt is so gross to me.
I can't, man. You should tweet at him and send that you want to send like, him a Gucci belt.
How am I gonna trust like a CEO and invest in his company if he's like out here rocking like a Levi's belt, you know?
Oh, I can't, man. but that's what I mean. Is that like, you know, he's not super flashy. Like at the end of the day, I really like him. I think his heart's inside the right place. I think he gets super passionate because you got to remember, he's the richest man on earth right now. Now, is it in cash? No, but who the fuck cares? You know, he's the richest man on earth right now. So every time that someone says something along the lines of like, we need to make the rich pay, yeah, he probably feels some type of like, yo, what the fuck? Like, why are you coming at me? Like, I didn't do anything to you, Bernie. You know, I'm feeling the burn, you know?
All right. Well, we'll see. I'm sure we'll continue the Elon segment because he has been on one the past, you know, week or so with some of these tweets.
I love Elon, man.
Yeah,
I
tweeted Elon. Like inflation is making 420 more 6.9 or some shit like that. Like,
I saw that.
He's off his rocker, man. Lost his marbles. So last week we can kind of go over one little thing, and this is an open-ended question. The users can make sure they respond, and then it's what we would tell ourselves as traders 5 years ago. Mine would probably be start trading and buy Tesla. But, you know, I'll give you a second to think, and I've already got mine. And I'm just going to go ahead and imagine it less so of 5 years and more so of when I started trading. Okay. And it'd probably be take less focus off of letting one play change everything. I remember the day my trading changed for the better was after I sold GHSI. And GHSI was just some swing that was being called in BSS's chat. And for some reason, I was just like, this is what's going to take my account from 2,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 or whoever knows how much it would have taken my account to at the time. But any trade in anything else, and this was the hottest market like ever. It was you know, like the COVID market. And any profit I made off of day trading, like Mark and everything, by their tweets every day from 36 cents to 40 cents, whatever, I would just always put it right back into GHSI. And I was just, I'd see it even go up to 20% days and 30% days and all this stuff. And I would just never, ever take profits. I was just so tunnel visioned on just one stock. And the day I sold it, I just remember everything turning around. So I mean, just understanding like one stock, especially when you don't know anything about, like, is going to change everything was just such like a far-fetched thing to me now. And even if I did, like, the movement was great, I just didn't scale out.
I think the thing that I would tell myself 5 years ago is to trust the process more and not worry so much about making money. I remember thinking when I used to make $50 or $60, literally by luck, thinking like, okay, this is where it turns around. You know, like I got superstitious to the point to where it was probably almost unhealthy. Like, okay, now that I've made a green trade, now it's all uphill from here. When in reality, I really didn't know much about what I was doing. So I would tell myself to focus more on the process and more on the strategy and less on the profits or trying to make any money. And then the other thing that I would tell myself is I would just continuously tell myself like it'll all work out. Like, this is worth it, because there were plenty of times where although I was making some money, you know, it was never enough to where I could be like, okay, I can do this after college. The other thing is that I doubted myself a lot. So even though I was having a great time trading and stuff, you know, I had constant doubt. And so I would just continue to tell myself, like, it will be worth it. Trust the process. You know, it will continue to work out, like, and so far it has. That was like the biggest thing, was that, you know, I let a lot of people get into my head that I probably shouldn't have let to get into my head. I kept trading a secret for a really, really long time. And then when I started to do well and make, you know, my, like, I was making six figures, and I was still letting people who, you know, I had I kicked their ass in net worth, and you know that's nothing to brag about. But you know, I mean, I was letting people who had never traded before tell me as a six figure trader that I shouldn't be trading, and that it was stupid, and that wasn't, and that there was no longevity. So yeah, those are probably the three things: is that trust the process over the profits. You know, continue to not let people, you know, continue to not let people inside your head, and know that it'll all be worth it. And then, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much like that. That's what I would tell myself for sure.
Yeah. I think another thing that you'd need to just absolutely hound on to like my younger self is like compounding regardless is good. Like when you're scaling out, your position is getting smaller, but your account, the money in there is getting bigger. I think that's what you really need to understand is, hey, even if this does go another 100%, yeah, I'm missing out on a little. But if it goes down 50%, this is secured. I'll never, like, this is mine now. I think that's a big thing, is understanding, like, you know, the big red days, yeah, they're going to happen and everything. But when you see money on the table, be very happy to take it. You ever show me this money 2 years ago, I take it way, way, way sooner just because of the amount. And I'm like, you know, you have to keep things in perspective. And, you know, I think realizing that is such a big thing. And I'd love to hear, you know, all the listeners, what they would, you know, change 5 years ago or when you first started trading.
Yeah, DM us or reply to
leave
the tweet.
Yeah, leave them in the replies to the tweet.
Yeah, and we'll read a few of them on Sunday's episode.
Yeah, and we'll go over and see, you know, if we had any similarities in ours. And also, and we love the responses to the Carey Palmer interview. So make sure to drop some, you know, some traders without the biggest following that y'all want us to interview, so we can, you know, get some different voices out there. We don't always
Elon
want
Musk.
To have it the same people. Yeah, Elon Musk, small trader. So,
bro,
so
you know he traded Bitcoin. You know damn well that motherfucker was trading like 100 Bitcoins at a time. Sitting there like buying 100 Bitcoins, you know, sending out a tweet. Yeah. Sending out a tweet like, ha ha, gotcha. That's 300 grand right there, bitches.
Yeah, he's like, ha, catch me now, Jeff Bezos. You can't. He's building a base.
Yeah, he's like texting Bezos on the side like, just made another 300 grand, bitches.
He should just go long in Amazon stock too, just to secure the fact he's, so if it goes down, like it's going down with Bezos. So it's like, yeah, just to secure...
Put the exact amount of money that Bezos's net worth into Amazon, so that no matter what.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, we enjoyed this Wednesday. We hope, it's Tuesday, but we hope the market gets super hot, and we just had a little breaky break, but we'll be back on Sunday to discuss it all with you. Thanks again for listening, and make sure to rate us 5 stars and check us out on YouTube. Peace.
Booyah.
Penny's Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.